Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Oh, there goes that crackling fire. I love technology when it works. Love it most when it works. And for some reason, I'm recycling. So you get to enjoy this fire for a whole lot longer. And in the Midwest, it's pretty chilly right now in the United States. So this button is not stopping. Don't know why. There we go. So I apologize in advance if it kicks on again because I did push the stop button. But as I said, it's chilly here in the Midwest United States as we're transitioning from summer to fall. And Mother Nature has decided with a vengeance the last few days to make it pretty darn chilly and wet. And we're very excited about the wet because, as some of you may know, we are in an extreme drought in the Midwest United States. So we're very grateful for the rain and very grateful for my guest tonight. I'm very excited to bring to you Steve Van Remortel, who is the author of an exciting book called Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream. I love the title. Would never have guessed the content of the book based just on that part of the title. It's followed by The Scoop on Increasing Profit by Differentiating Your Company Through Strategy and Talent. Two areas I have a passion for. Honestly, more for the talent than the strategy. And I want to spend as much time as possible letting Steve share where this philosophy came from, how it works, giving you some tips and strategies. Because if you are in a business working as a department manager, team leader, or if you own a business, it's important to make money if you want to stay in business and to actually maximize the potential of the talent and of the difference that you can make with strategy in your business. So, without further ado, I want to thank you for being here. Thank you to my returning listeners. I appreciate that you continue to come back and get new sparks. And welcome to my new listeners. Thanks for being here. And the challenge is for you to find those sparks, those strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge from the time that we spend together. So for the investment that you make, take away at least one valuable idea from what you are about to hear. And, well, we'll share a lot more. There are websites and links in the show notes that you can find for Steve, and I want to thank him very much for taking time out of his busy schedule. This is the book launch week, and I am so honored to have him here, especially this week, because that means that you, my listeners, are on the cutting edge of information, and you're getting it among the first by being here with me. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Melanie. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
I, as I said, am very excited. I want to share with the listeners a little bit. As Steve and I were talking before the show, we learned that we live in adjacent states. And in addition to living in adjacent states, he's visiting my state tomorrow. It's a small world that we talk about how 6 degrees of separation or less usually. So we have some information to explore in our possible connections beyond our passion for helping people to live their best lives. So before we get further into the book and to how Steve is living his passion, would you tell my listeners a little bit about who is Steve Van Remortel?
Sure, that'd be great. Well, I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Of course, that makes me a lifelong diehard Packer fan and ticket holder. In fact, I'm looking out the window at Lambeau Field because our office is right across the street from the stadium, so that makes it fun on Sundays. My undergraduate degrees are in marketing and organizational communications, and It was a Tuesday. It was my first Tuesday night class in college, or first night class in college, and it was a Tuesday night. And I remember the professor going over the syllabus and talking about strategy, and the room kind of got brighter, and I really identified at that point that strategy was going to be my professional passion moving forward, and have built my career around it. And I remember that night like it was in the last night. And so I have done that, and I'll tell you more about that as we get into the book. I have a very strong family, 5 brothers and sisters. I've been married for 25 years to my wife, Lisa. We have 4 great children that are all in college or graduate education. I lived all over the country but came back to Green Bay to raise our family so my kids could have grandparents. I started out my career in the sales area and worked my way up into leadership positions. I went back to night school for my master's in strategy. And then I was asked to lead a turnaround in an organization. The company was basically upside down, and the owner said, help me fix this thing. So we developed and implemented a strategy and took it from 5 to 30 million in 5 years. And after we turned around that business, I founded SM Advisors in 1999. And SM Advisors stands for Strategic Management. And then from there, I began developing the strategic planning and talent development planning process that we now call Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream. So obviously, there's a lot more detail there, Melanie, but that's a little bit of background on myself.
Well, and it's interesting as I listen to how you grew up. I have 6 sisters. I'm from a large family. I was born in Iowa. I hadn't traveled as much, and I have 1 son, 11, who we're raising in Iowa. And thank you so much for sharing the discovery of your passion as well, how you came to embrace strategy, because everyone has unique gifts and unique passions. And while when we discover them, we think, oh, everybody can do that, very often we forget that nobody can do it the way that we are here to do it. And what you have put together in this strategy with Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream is amazing, just from the pieces that I have read. And so I do want to get into the book, but before we go deeper, let's back up a little bit and talk about what was that seed idea or experience, if you could elaborate a little bit more, that really got you thinking about writing the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, I started SM Advisors in 1999, and we started purely as a strategy company. I mean, the company was centered around my strategy to help organizations create their strategy. And as I got into it, leaders wanted me to help them with their team. So about a year after we launched the business, we went into strategy and talent. And it just shows how strategy has to develop, and it's never, your strategy is never completed. And so we added talent, and the combination of strategy and talent has just been incredible on what we have, the lives we have changed, the companies we have changed, and what it's done for our own company and our own lives. And then about 7 years into the company, because it's been 12 years now, I'm in a CEO roundtable group, and we talked about doing some life planning. And so I went away for a weekend. It was minus 20 degrees outside, February in Door County, Wisconsin. And I developed my life map is what I used. And life map is very simple. It's really defining what you want your legacy to be, and then defining the long-term objectives to get there, and then defining the short-term objectives, which is what you're going to do in the next 12 months. And the key thing that I came away with that weekend, Melanie, was, we were impacting 75 to 100 companies a year, at least I was personally, through my strategy and talent work. And the message I came out of that weekend was, is you should be impacting 7,500 to 10,000 companies a year. And so I received that message really early on in my weekend of, thought. And so then I said, okay, well, how do I do that? And how do I do that is through public speaking. I love to speak and inspire and educate people. And what do good speakers usually have? A book. And so I came away from that weekend saying, okay, I want to do this, but I need to write a book. And so Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream, the concept of a book, was born 5 years ago, and I can tell you it's been a roller coaster ride. Perseverance would be the key word I'd use in getting through those 5 years, but I really came away with that weekend. It was my calling is to educate and inspire business owners and business leaders on how to differentiate their business. In other words, how to stop selling vanilla ice cream. And that's really where the whole brand came from. A couple of years into doing all this strategy, I'd be up in front of a management team, and I'd be like, you can't sell vanilla ice cream. You got to sell mint chocolate chip. What is your mint chocolate chip? And they understood it really well, and it was easy, and it was an easy concept for them to get their arms around. And that led to, you know, trademarking it and dot-comming it and all that kind of stuff. And then 3 or 4 years later, the concept of the book came in place. And I'm just so excited for it to be here because I want to deliver on that calling. I want to put this book in the hands of as many business leaders and owners and entrepreneurs as possible because, you know, 30%, less than 30% of companies actually put an annual plan together. And the one thing that's amazing to me is that we plan our vacations, we plan our weddings, we plan for retirement, but less than 30% of us plan for the one thing that's going to fund all that, and that's our business. And so I'm just so excited to be able to get this book in as many people's hands as possible because now there's a simple process to optimize strategy and talent in your organization that is going to show huge return for a long time to come.
And it's so funny that you use mint chocolate chip as an example. That happens to be my favorite ice cream. And you do share your favorite ice cream in the book. So for those people like me who were curious, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
That's a favorite with the men in my house as well.
It's amazing because people say, well, how can you stop selling vanilla ice cream? And it's like, well, I have proven data that over 90% of vanilla ice cream has something put on it, in it, or underneath it. So almost every scoop of vanilla ice cream has something on it to differentiate itself. And so that's why we have a lot of times when I give speeches and we do it over the lunch, we're serving vanilla ice cream, and then I got all the differentiations in my pocket with little packets of M&Ms and, you know, Oreos and whatever. And so we have a lot of fun with it. But at the end of the day, the metaphor is so simple that it's understood from the boardroom to the plant floor. And that allows companies to come together around their strategy because now it's not some complex, you know, these terms that a lot of people might not understand. It's a very simple process, a very simple metaphor that is understood across the company that allows us to really come together around one vision.
And that is so powerful because you have taken a concept that just hearing the word strategy or strategic planning, for someone who is passionate about what they're good at. For me, that's the speaking, training, coaching that I do. My background is not in business. It's not in business management. I haven't had business courses. And there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there who are in a similar situation where, you know, they're looking for that guidance or businesses that right now are struggling because things are changing so fast. And they need something to differentiate them from everybody else who's making vanilla ice cream. So it is indeed a powerful metaphor and an easy one to get hold of. And you said something key that I want to go back to, and that is that it's understood from the boardroom to the plant floor. Because normally strategic planning is reserved for the C-levels, the senior management levels of companies. You have a different perspective in your book. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I meet with business leaders, I ask them, you know, how much time you spend working on the business? And they're like, you know, working on the business versus in the business. And they're, you know, 5 to 10%. And when you have one person or maybe one or two people working on the business, 5 or 10%, you're gonna stay status quo or even fall behind in this competitive environment that we're competing in today. And one of the things that's really important is to have the entire organization working on the business. I was with a client today, and we were presenting the plan, the strategic plan, to the rest of the organization. And it's communicating to them what it is, where we're headed, how we're going to get there, and what their roles are in it. And what happens when people execute the Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream process is that because you're engaging so many other people across the organization working on the business, that when sales checks off a few on the business plans or on the business action plans and operations and finance and HR and all these departments are checking these on the business action plans off, it just the organization just takes off because we're, you know, the new website's up, the brand's done, we got lean manufacturing going in. Whatever those on the business action plans are, when you take the combination of all those getting done at the same time, now you have what, 75 to 80% of the organization working on the business, and you go from 35 to 100 in about 6 months.
And that is an interesting distinction because we get so caught up in putting out the fires in the day-to-day busyness of business, I like to call it, that we forget how important it is to step back and to be involved in that strategic planning and strategy process. And in addition to that strategic perspective, you also talk about talent and talent development as part, one of the two keys you identify as being important. And so you talked a little bit about strategy just now. How does talent fit in?
Well, I tell you, the candid, honest truth, when I first started as some advisors, I felt if you had a strategy that if you had a good strategy that differentiated your company, that everything else would take care of itself. And I was about a year and a half in, and I learned that, you know, talent is the most important thing that you need to have. And we call it skill set alignment, and that's making sure that we have the right people in the right positions. And it goes deeper in that, and that's why there's a lot of behavioral science, you know, very simple behavioral science tools that we use, because all of us are born with gifts and skills. And really, you know, we know a lot of them naturally, but there's a lot of them like our soft skills that we don't know which soft skills we have in a lot of cases. And we're using the most advanced tools available in the marketplace to help us identify the soft skills that people are bringing to the table. And so the combination of taking your strategy to implementing a strategy or taking your current strategy to another level and implementing talent development and taking your talent to another level, that combination is what creates the power in this process. And we call them the two fundamentals of business, strategy and talent. If there's a problem that a business faces that strategy and talent will not resolve, I'd like to hear it, because in 12 years we haven't found one. And so we believe that a high performance, skill set aligned team is the number one reason for a profitable company. However, a team that has a strategy is a wicked combination, and that's really what the process will do for any organization that implements it, is that you give this high performance team the strategy to differentiate themselves, and that's where you get the top and bottom line growth that, you know, is unprecedented, that your company's never experienced before.
Well, and you do talk too about culture in chapter 2 when you talk about the power of strategy and talent in the book. With the example that you give with Rochelle and her company Connecting Cultures, and as she is working through that process, one of the things that I want to point out is that you use real life examples in the book, so it's not just all theory. Can you talk a little bit about how the book's put together? What your thinking is in terms of how it's laid out?
Yeah, I'm a strategy nut, and so I read a lot of books, and a lot of strategy books kind of lose you in the second and third chapter, and it's like, you know, it's like drudgery. And some of the best books that I've read in my time have been books that you can connect with, that you can relate with, that you can't wait to see what happens in the next chapter. So when I started this process 5 years ago to write the book, I wanted to write a strategy and talent book that was an easy read, that anybody could read and understand the concepts in it. Granted, at the time, it seemed like a pretty significant hurdle, but that's the track that I started out on, and you know, 5 years later, I look back and I can say proudly that we accomplished that. But the inspiration behind it was Michael Gerber's book. The name escapes me right now, but he wrote a book, E-Myth, there it is, The Entrepreneurial Myth. And in his book, he talked about the pie lady, this lady that owned a pie store. And it just was an easy read because you could relate to the pie lady. Now, it was a mythical character. In my book, what I did was I took a company that said, yeah, you can write a book about us. I took them through the planning process, and they were engaged in it. And, you know, we documented everything that went through each planning session and the ups and downs and the hurdles. And so the reason that I wrote the book that way was so that anybody that reads the book can live vicariously through Rochelle and her team and then take their team through the book and walk the same path that they did. You know, my passion is to give this process to as many business leaders and owners and entrepreneurs as possible. And so in order to do that, you have to give them a process that isn't complex, that isn't, you know, like you said, a bunch of theory. There's no fluff in this book. It's hardcore content as to how you take your company to the next level. And so what I encourage companies to do is first read the book so you understand the whole process and you understand how it ties together. And then take each step through the process. The book is written in the in the chronological steps of the process. Take your team through it. Take your department through it. Go through it yourself, whatever the situation is, and just live vicariously through Rochelle and execute the process with them. All the templates are available on StopSellingVanillaIceCream.com, and I just, you know, that would fulfill my calling if more and more people just took this process and implemented it into their businesses or their departments.
Well, and that's huge. That is one of the things that I wanted to talk about. And we're going to come back to those online assessments and the templates that you make available free in addition to what you have in the book. Before we go down that road, I want to back up a minute and ask you to talk about, you've got four phases in the Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream process. Could you do an overview of each of those four phases in this process?
Sure. The first phase is the preparation phase, and that really is about getting the information for the content of the planning process. To me, one of the significant oversights that a lot of companies struggle with is trying to collect the content for the planning process during the process. So if I'll use an example. So, you know, Steve, give me what you think the top two strengths of the organization are. And it's inefficient and it puts people on the spot. And, you know, like when you start talking about the weaknesses of the company, you know, one of the weaknesses might be sitting right next to you, you know. So,
right.
Yeah. So the planning process preparation is about getting all the content that the person that's leading your process needs to get in order to facilitate the process. So when you go to talk about the weaknesses of the organization, you have a full screen or a full page of weaknesses already that you can work through with the team. And there's going to be some weaknesses on that page that some people might disagree with, but that's the beauty of it, is you get to talk it through. And no one knows where it came from, and it doesn't really matter. The point is it's on the page, and we got to talk through with the people that are putting the plan together. Is this a real weakness or not? So in the first phase, you select the planning team, which is a whole process in itself. You do the behavioral assessments, and as Melanie mentioned, each book owner comes with a free behavioral assessment, which allows each of you, you know, so if you have five people on your team, you buy five books, you get a free assessment for each person. And then you do the planning team interview. So whoever's leading the process, there's a pre-planning questionnaire that everybody fills out, and the person gets all the content for the process that is needed. And it just makes the process very simple, very efficient, and it gets all the issues on the table. So that's phase one. Phase two is you know, building the team and strategy development. And the first thing that we do when we get the team together for the first session is they all come in, you know, a little bit kind of wondering what's up and, you know, maybe a little bit nervous. And the first thing we want to do is tear down all the walls and take all that out of the room. So we have a process in the book that we call getting the team in their underwear. And that really involves putting all the cards on the table. And we use the behavioral assessments to do that. And it just, I have owner or leader and leader after leader tell me that's the most candid discussion this team has ever had. So in order for you to really address the sensitive issues, or like what we like to call in the Midwest, the sacred cows, there has to be some candor about where we're at as a team, what's going on with each individual. And I'll tell you, the tools that are in the book really allow each team member to put it out there and talk about where they're at and talk about some of the struggles they're having and where their skills are. And so first we get the team in their underwear. And once they're in their underwear, they have the ability to talk about anything that the company is struggling with. And so that's when we get into strategy preparation, which is in phase two, where we do what we call looking in the mirror and we look out the window. Looking in the mirror is obviously financial analysis, strengths and weaknesses analysis, external analysis is what's going on out in our marketplace, what are our customers saying, what trends are taking place. So that's really getting a team ready to write strategy, and you have to really get them in their underwear, and you have to get everybody on the planning team to the same level of understanding about the business and about the marketplace that we're competing in. Then you move to phase three, which is strategy development, and that's really about defining what we call your competence, which is your mint chocolate chip ice cream, which is what you currently do or are going to do better than anyone else. So you go through a whole process, which is, again, laid out very simply in the book on how you define that competency, and then who are your target markets, and will that competency differentiate us from the rest of the competitors that in our marketplace, be it in the Midwest, be it in a city, be it across the country, be it, you know, global. And then it goes into a lot of how about you communicate your competence and how you take your competency to market. Your brand strategy needs to communicate your competence, your sales and marketing tools. All that needs to be centered around your competence. There's companies that we all see and know that really understand why we do business with them, and they market it and promote it and get business and get paid for it. I mean, one thing, Melanie, you know, people always have a hard time connecting with what a competency is. You know, as consumers, every day we go to certain restaurants, we go to certain stores, we drive out of our way to go to a certain store because they have something we can't get anywhere else. If we all do that as consumers, and so the question I give you is, why wouldn't we do that for our own business? And that's what phase three about is really defining that competency, how are we going to make sure we create a clear differentiation for our organization. And then the last step in phase three is really defining that vision. A lot of companies like to create a vision statement, and candidly, I don't see where they bring a lot of value. You know, we want to be the leader in the industry. How do you know if you ever achieved the vision statement? So in the book, we provide, a whole process on how to create what we call a vivid description of what we want this company to look like in 2 or 3 years. And really, I believe that it's leadership's responsibility to paint that vision. So everyday decisions are made towards the direction of the vision, so the company moves there faster and gets to that vision sooner. And leadership needs to take that ownership of that responsibility to make sure that we understand our vision, we understand where we're going, and how we're going to get there. So phase three is strategy development. Then phase four is strategy implementation. And that gets into what we call the transitional issues. So how do you transition from where you currently are to that new vision? Organizational structure is there. We have a very unique process on how to create the organizational structure. What skill sets are we missing? What skill set voids do we have? What systems and processes do we need to implement? Do we need to address our compensation plan? There's a bunch of different transitional issues that are pretty common to most organizations, and then every organization has one or two unique ones. Succession planning we see once in a while, how we handle the family and family business, that type of thing. Then we establish our goals for the year, and then we get into department planning. And department planning is where a lot of companies really don't take the next step in strategy, and that's really taking your strategy to tactics. And then the last thing we put in place in phase four is the plan execution program, which is to ensure that we're constantly reviewing how we're doing on plan execution and holding people accountable and making discipline and accountability part of our culture. Accountability is the single toughest word for every organization because accountability is a form of conflict. You know, Melanie, you said you were going to get that action plan done by, you know, August or October 15th, and it's October 18th. Why isn't it done? You know, most behavioral styles don't like conflict, so many people avoid conflict. But conflict has to become a healthy type of conflict, and the high-performance leadership teams that we work with across the country and across the world are are engaged in healthy conflict, and when they show up at a meeting, they know that they're going to be held accountable, and there's an expectation that they're going to be held accountable, because when you say what, if you say you're going to get something done, the expectation is that it's going to get done. So those are the four phases. Sorry to kind of digress a little bit in each phase, but it just brought out some key points that I wanted to highlight.
No, it was wonderful, and I wanted to add that in the book, on page 17, is a beautiful one-page chart that outlines what Steve just explained, each of the phases, and then the key components and the chapter in which you would find it. And it goes, it's a nice flow chart, makes it very easy to see the whole picture at one time, That's me. I like to see the big picture. I like to know where we're going before we get started. And that does a beautiful job of making it that one page. I can see it. And then explaining in that chapter about the power of strategy and talent what the steps are, which is what you just gifted my listeners with. Then I also wanted to add before we go further that in each chapter you have two sections at the end, one called the scoop and one called action plans to complete the process. What was your thinking behind including those two sections in each chapter? Well, first of all, and what is the scoop? Because they can't see the page I'm looking at.
The scoop are strategically driven questions that get you going. You know, you ask a question and you go, huh. So, you know, one of our objectives and every objective I have going into every conversation is to really get people to think strategically. Because most of us think tactically. We're humans, and what's on my desk? What do I got to get done today? The scoop are questions that are going to drive strategic conversation with you or with you and your team. And then the action plans to complete the process are checkoff points that you need to complete at the end of each chapter to make sure that you're executing the process. So, again, our objective, Melanie, with this book was make it as simple as you know, ice cream. Make it as simple as heck to implement this process. And so we want to get people to think strategically, but we also want to give them a checklist that they have to complete after each, at the end of each chapter.
Well, and I love that there are those reflective questions as well as the action steps, because there's so much good information in books that without doing something with it, and at the end of all my show notes, it says take action on something you heard, which I'll say at the end of our interview today. Because until we do something with the information, it's just out there. And when we actually take action, that's when we internalize it. That's when it becomes part of our thinking, part of our process, and ultimately part of our success. And I wanted to make sure that I brought up that in terms of the organization of the book, those also contribute to making it a living process versus a book on the shelf.
You can kind of see why it took 5 years to write, huh?
Absolutely, and especially when you're tweaking and et cetera.
And also running a consulting firm.
Yes, and also working in another job. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah. So I wanted to also comment on accountability. I worked with, was very honored to work with Linda Galindo, who wrote Accountability That Works, and agree with you wholeheartedly that when accountability is a blame game, people don't want to play it. And it makes it very challenging to be successful and to move a company forward when there's that fear factor around the process. So how that accountability is set up is critical to whether it's we're learning and growing from it or if people want to bury their head in the sand and participate in CYA or CYB, depending on whether you want to use the A word or the B word. But there are companies that play, you know, cover your butt. They don't want to be out there and raising their hand saying, it was me. I took responsibility. So the fact that you've included that as the last step of the process is very, very powerful in taking all the work that goes into this process and actually making it effective moving forward. So it's not just the flavor of the month, that pun really fits, with the topic of the book. But a lot of times when we have a new strategy or we have, you know, a new approach to doing something, the reaction from the management team or the employees is, oh, here we go again. It's the new flavor of the month. It'll pass. And from what I've seen, what I've read so far, and from what we've talked about, this isn't the flavor of the month process. It becomes part of how you do business. Is that an accurate interpretation?
Yeah, and one thing I'll add to that, and in the book there's an illustration that in the first year of executing Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream, you spend quite a bit of time on the strategic aspects of your business, and you get started on department planning or tactical planning. In the second year, there's kind of this balance between strategy and tactical, or strategy and department planning. And then the third year and beyond, you really, obviously, you challenge your strategy. You may update it, tweak it based on what's going on in the marketplace. But it really comes down to department planning and putting those action plans to work on the business in each department. And so it's kind of this maturity that companies go through, this strategic maturity that they get better at it as they work at it more. But I can tell you right now with 100% certainty, the companies that become pros at department planning are the ones that make the most money, because they are constantly working on the business. And not only is there competition in the rearview mirror, but they're getting smaller and smaller and smaller every year, because nobody is delivering that competency that you have better than you are. And so it is a maturation that companies go through with the process. But the most important thing is to just get started.
Isn't that true with so many things, is taking that first step?
Yeah. I mean, I like to think that, well, I know that one of the number one reasons most companies don't plan is because they don't know how to go about it. They don't, you know, and maybe they had a bad experience before or something. And, again, that's why I wrote the book, was because I wanted to take that reason away, that obstacle away, that the obstacle isn't there anymore. So what's going to be the reason now? When I went away, you know, I'll candidly tell you that if I didn't go away 5 years ago to write my life map and where I was going with our business and where I was going with my career and what really defined what my calling was, I would not be talking to you today. So I'm living proof that, and it was a one-page plan. You know, it wasn't complex. It just was, it brought clarity to where I was headed and made me focus on the things that were going to get me there. And that's what I would encourage to your listeners is, you know, the Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream process could produce a plan that's 10 pages or 15, you know, or 20. It doesn't have to be lengthy or complex. It just has to have actions to work on the business that take you towards a certain target. And that, to me, that's one of the things that there's great confusion about, is that strategy is this theoretical, you know, complex challenge, and it doesn't have to be. And I wrote the book, I have this saying that I wrote the book to be a story, because I didn't want to be what most strategic books are, and that's a theoretical, philosophical rampage by somebody that, you know, loses you by chapter two. And so that's just some of the philosophy behind how we wrote the book.
Well, and to make it readable and for multiple levels, like you said, because when I saw Rochelle and her story, I thought, okay, I can connect. I can look at my business. I can look at another business I work at, and look at how what's happening there connects with Rochelle. And that's huge, because if you had called this, you know, increase profit by differentiating your company through strategy and talent, there would have been a lot of people who would have thought, I could never read it without ever opening the cover. So I want to congratulate you on the wonderful metaphor of Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream, because not only is it understandable and people can relate to it, it's absolutely attention-getting about how to distinguish yourself from everybody else who's doing what you're doing, because we all have a slightly different approach, slightly different strengths in our talent, or maybe it's the objective, the direction we want to go, the niche we want to work in. We don't stop and think about that and work on the business. You know, and that's something I think, too, I want to talk just for a minute about, for especially for new entrepreneurs who are just stepping into the world of business. The difference between working on your business and working in your business may not be so obvious to them. Can you talk about the difference a little bit?
Yeah, it's easy just to give an example. You know, working on the business is creating a process to onboard a new customer. Working in the business is using the process to board a new customer. And I recognize, I started SM Advisors, so I mean, I recognize early on that, you know, you got to go out and create top-line growth. You have to you know, you have to create revenue to pay the bills. I get that. But you also got to set aside time to continue to move the company forward. And that really is where discipline comes in. If you don't have the discipline to do it, then get somebody that can help guide you and hold you accountable to working on the business. And again, I always encourage people, write 5 action plans down to work on the business, and then next month I'm going to call you and we're going to develop 5 more. And it's just simple stuff like that. I mean, when I came across the metaphor of stop selling vanilla ice cream, you know, what were my 5 action plans? Well, trademark it, dot-com it, and start outlining, you know, the book. And, you know, so the very simple stuff. But I'll tell you, when you look back, all those little things add up to obviously, you know, 5 years of, you know, that is coming down, culminating in something that, you know, I never thought I'd do. I never thought I'd be here on this call with you right now. And because I took all those little steps, it added up to something that ultimately I'm, you know, is going to be part of my legacy, which was in my life map.
And that is awesome. Congratulations on living your passion and moving towards that legacy, because that's something that many of us, again, we don't take time to think about, to work on our life, to work on that legacy, because we're so busy in our life, in the day-to-day busyness of all the things that we do. And that is so important to do periodically so that you don't get to the end of your life and say, oh my gosh, where did it go? And a lot of times the same thing happens in our business. We do something 3, 4, 5 years and we're like, oh my gosh, you know, we didn't realize, we didn't see some things coming, some changes coming, that we are now behind the eight ball, so to speak, or we're behind the curve on the change because we weren't strategic. Or, or I should say, and right now the competition for talent is really increasing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as the economy is improving, people are looking to go where they can do what they do best and be rewarded for that, whether it's a combination of salary or training, development, other opportunities. And so that piece around talent is becoming even more important to a company's survival than ever before.
Yeah, I would agree. I always tell people, you know, we all have bad days, but when people have a plan, their bad days aren't as bad because they know they're going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to be back on plan. I couldn't imagine waking up tomorrow and not necessarily having a vision as to where I was going. Now, granted, it's what I do for a living, but that wasn't there for a lot of years. And but you know, I wake up the next morning all fired up because I'm back on plan, even though the day before wasn't exactly what I thought it would be or wanted it to be. And so, bad days aren't as bad when you got a plan that is taking you to this vision and this legacy that you want to create for yourself and your business.
Absolutely. And I want to go back now to a little bit and talk about the online assessment and how that is helpful in the process. And then to talk a little bit maybe about one or two of those templates. Yes,
okay.
You can find our website. So let's first talk about that online assessment. How's that helpful?
Well, what it does is it gets a ton of information about each person on the table. So how do we use this? Because the assessment that it comes with the book and that we use often with in our planning process with our clients, it's 81 pages of content on the individual. Okay. So the first thing that we do is we sit down and go through a 2-hour debriefing process with the person on how, you know, what does it say, answering questions, you know, debriefing them on where their gifts are. And, you know, a lot of this they know already, but then there's a lot of new learnings they have. I mean, in the assessments, it tells us what their behavioral style is, you know, how they're wired, what motivates their actions and decisions, what soft skills they have, which is a huge, huge you know, huge to becoming, you know, the difference between a high performer and an average performer typically is their level of soft skills. It tells us about their problem-solving capabilities, their attitude, what are their areas of improvement, their emotional intelligence. And so how do we use this in the process and how can, you know, your listeners use it in the process is the first thing you do is you use it to get the team in their underwear. Each person has to get up in front of the planning team and we show their talent tracker, which the book talks a lot about. The talent tracker basically are the graphs that are included in the assessment that you will learn that the book tells you how to read. We provide all the tools on how to understand them and how to read them. And there's six questions that they have to answer about themselves. One of them is, for example, how do you feel the organization perceives your style? And so take my style. Boy, I can come across as kind of aggressive sometimes, kind of pushy sometimes. And so, you know, how do I feel the organization perceives my style? I start talking about that, that, you know, I could come across a little strong. And now all of a sudden the room starts opening up. And then I always ask the question, what do you guys, how do you guys think the organization perceives their style? And you want to talk about candid discussion about where each of us are at. And I'll tell you, it gets us in the underwear right away. And so once, so we use it for the team development exercise. And then once we have the team in the right spot, we can then develop the strategy. And then at the end of the process, in the department plans, there's a department plan outline that's provided that each department needs to complete. And the first, the number one thing in department plans is the education and development plan for each employee in their department. And a lot of that structure for that planning comes out of the assessments. We also put a communication plan in place because one of the things the assessment tells you is what are the do's and don'ts of effectively communicating with Melanie? You know, and so, you know, don't come on too aggressive. Don't make your decision before you come talk to her, you know, those types of things. And so there's a ton of information in here that we use for team development, for individual development, and allowing teams to really come together. I mean, on the back of the book, there's one of the clients that endorsed the book for us. You know, he had a very dysfunctional team, and in one day we took him from dysfunctional to highly functional because they all got in their underwear, and the culture of their organization just went like that. And he was, I mean, he was just glowing at the end of the day. It was just, it's, and that's one of the cool parts about the process and about what I do for a living is just to see that type of transformation. So that hopefully that answers the question about the assessments. As far as the templates on the website, available at StopSellingVanillaIceCream.com, the first one, which is not part of the planning process but is what got me here, is the life map, and that is on the website. There's also a column that I do a lot of write a lot of columns across the, mostly the state of Wisconsin, but the Midwest, and it's how to create the life map and how to complete it. And I only bring that one up because that's the first step for me, is where we are individually, and then that leads to where we're going in our business and our career. And so I just would encourage everybody to take a look at that and really think about your where you're going. The second one that I really like is the competitive competence analysis. And what this does is after a team defines their competency and how they're going to differentiate themselves, this methodology takes a look at how our competitors are trying to differentiate themselves and what their competency is. And that's why it's called the competitive competency methodology. So we take the top four or five competitors and we put in there, what do you think, what does it appear their strategy is? What is the, how are they trying to differentiate themselves? And then in the bottom of the methodology, we put our company's competence. And then we say to ourselves, when we deliver this competency, is it clearly going to differentiate us? Is it going to be our mint chocolate chip? Or is it still vanilla compared to the rest of the industry? If it tells you that you're going to be different once you, if it tells you that you're going to have a differentiation once you complete that methodology, then you can move on to the next step in the process. If you're just vanilla in the vanilla ice cream in the industry, then you got to stay there and pound that out until you figure it out. That's another one. And then I also like the brand strategy template because we believe here at SM Advisors that your brand strategy is your number one salesperson, and your brand strategy needs to communicate your competency. It's got to tell people why they should do business with you and what they're going to get out of it. So, again, I'll give you an example. SM Advisors, SM stands for strategic management, and our positioning statement, as we call it, or you could call it a slogan, is those who plan profit. Okay, so planning is our competency, profit is the result of our competency, and so our strategy clearly communicates our competency. I'll use an easier example, Home Depot. You can do it, we can help. Their competency is to take care of guys that think we can, you know, are do-it-yourselfers, people that are do-it-yourselfers on the weekend. You know, they have an electrician in the electrical aisle. So just to give you a real-world example of how a big company is doing it. So that's another template or methodology that that is near and dear to my heart.
I'll just say, wow. because just from that, there's so much more available on the website in terms of the templates. And I am so excited that you included the life map, because like you said, that's the, you know, looking at yourself and where you want to go in your life, and then how do you fit in with your company or your business, and what is it that you want to achieve as you live your life? What legacy do you want to leave? It's very, very powerful to discover your passion, that burning desire or what gets you jazzed and excited that you so love to do, that you really never work because you love it so much. And it's a gift that you have to share with the world. Like Steve, for you, it's strategy. And making strategy accessible to anyone, not just to theorists and not just to the specialists who, you know, because there's that thinking of we have to have someone come in to do strategic planning. You know, so we have a strategic planning session once a year in companies, for example, and then that's the person they hire to come in to do strategic planning leaves, and there they are. But the Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream approach, the process that you have, is designed to be used by companies using just the book, the materials in the book, the templates on the website, and to become self-sufficient in the process. And that's huge. Is that accurate?
That's very accurate. That's exactly it.
That's another big wow, because, as you said, I just have not seen, I haven't done a lot of reading about strategy because that's not my strength or my passion, and it is important. So I'm really excited to look further into the Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream process and encourage my listeners to go to the website. We only have about 8 minutes left, Steve. I don't know where time goes when we have these interviews, but that hour sure flies by. I want to make sure I get to a couple more questions. If there are people listening who want to call in now to connect with Steve, the number is 347-215-8390, or you could type something into the chat room that I have open. However, most of the people who listen to my Spark shows download them at their convenience, listen to them at their convenience. So, Steve, if someone wants to connect with you, they have a question that they weren't able to ask during our show, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
It's pretty simple. Steve@StopSellingVanillaIceCream.com.
That is very simple. StopSellingVanillaIceCream.com. I know when I was looking, went to go to the website earlier today, because we're connected on Twitter, I looked at your Twitter handle, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's not right. So Twitter handles need to be a little shorter. So you can connect with Steve. You can follow him on Twitter at StopTheVanilla, correct?
That is correct, yep.
All right. I did remember that correctly. This is your big book launch week, Steve. So are there any events or different ways people can connect with you to continue to learn more to support your launch of your book?
Yeah, on Tuesday we had an ice cream social, so that's passed, but we did have an ice cream social here in Green Bay and had a large attendance, which was a pretty cool night for us. But yeah, you know, my passion is to give this process away, so any way that your listeners can share this process, this book, with people in their networks is really would be a blessing to me and a blessing to them, I would hope. You mentioned our Twitter handle, Facebook, you know, the StopSellingVanillaIceCream.com website. And, you know, the biggest thing, you know, one of the things that I do with people that I come in contact with is, you know, they tell me where they're at in their life, and a lot of times I'll give them a book, you know, a book that really hits the spot, because a lot of times people need to work through things on their own, and a lot of times people, you know, obviously they read by themselves, and so that's time for them to think through things. And you'll share this book with people that are just not hitting it out of the park right now, that are struggling to figure out where to take their business or what to do with this business idea they have, where to go with themselves. You know, share the book with them and be the person that inspires them to define that differentiation, that competency. You know, one of the things that's kind of cool, Melanie, that, you know, is on my life map is you know, the first thing was my passion was to get this process in the hands of business leaders, entrepreneurs, and so forth. But There is plans down the road to have a book called You Must Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream, which is how to really differentiate yourself. And so, but this process can be used to differentiate yourself. There's certainly some concepts in it that are very applicable to an individual. Obviously, it's focused on the business side of it. But, you know, give this book and share this book with your colleagues. Be the person that drives strategy and talent in your organization. A lot of times, you know, mid-level people come up to me and say, you know, I can't really do anything. The leadership isn't taking control of this. And I'll tell you right now, if you put a plan in place for your department, you're going to get recognized, you're going to get opportunities, and you likely will be running more than you are the day that you start putting these plans together. So take this and be passionate about it and drive strategy and talent wherever you can in your life and share it with those around you.
Awesome. And I think you just hit a huge area, managers, middle managers who feel like they are stuck between the management role and the leadership roles they have and often feel disempowered. So this may be a very, very good tool for them. And in the show notes is the websites, that stopsellingvanillaicecream.com, how to access Twitter and Facebook to stay in touch with you as you continue to promote the book, as you get new questions, new resources, and for people to follow you and your thinking, because it's so exciting to have an opportunity to connect with strategy and talent at a level that's understandable. And in our last few minutes, there are a couple final questions. And Steve and I were preparing for the show, talking real briefly before we went live. We shared one of my goals, and what I do is to help people live their passions. And anytime I have a guest who obviously is doing that, one thing quickly, what is it you do to live your passion every day? How do you make sure that that's there?
My career, I was blessed to wrap my career around my passion, 12 years ago. And when I interface with my clients is my opportunity to do it. In the acknowledgments in the book, I thank my clients for the opportunity, and their inspiration and their drive to succeed is what inspires me every day. And so I just got to get up and go to work, be honest with you, Melanie. I'm dripping in my passion when I'm at work, just because it's what I do. And, you know, when I meet with people that are, you know, at the halftime of their lives or early in their lives trying to figure out where they go, they think I'm going to come in and give them three or four names to network with, and we don't go down that path at all. We talk about what are your core passions and how can you wrap your life around it. And I recognize you got to make money to pay your bills, but as you're paying your bills, you should be building this hobby or whatever this is so that eventually you can turn it into your career. I'm just so blessed to be able to do that every day.
Then that's very, very powerful advice. As we wrap up in our last couple minutes, is there a question you wish I would have asked you?
I kind of touched on it because once my passion gets going here, it just seems flying out. But, you know, why is planning so important? And be it personal planning, be it planning for your business. I said this statement earlier, but, you know, people plan for their vacations and their weddings and retirement, but they fail to plan for the one thing that's going to fund all that and pay for all that. And so my passionate plea is take the first step. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be very simple. And use the process to take your organization to another level. So that was what I was thinking for that question, Melanie, and I would restate it because of its importance.
Okay, thank you very much. And then the last question I have, and you may have already given one piece, is that what are one or two key messages that you want listeners to take away from our interview that you have not already said or that you want to reiterate?
First of all, recognize the two fundamentals of business, strategy and talent, and do whatever you can in whatever position you're in to optimize those in your department or your organization. And the second is that, and it's our motto here at Estimate Advisors, is those who plan profit. And always remember that those who plan profit in everything that you do. So it could be a two-sentence plan or it could be a 200-page plan. you will profit and succeed, however you define that, you will profit and succeed more than if you did not have that documented and how you were going to get there. So those are two very strong messages that I live my life around.
Steve, thank you so much for spending an hour with me and doing this interview for my listeners and the new listeners who are going to discover this and discover your book and the power that for change that they can have by getting involved, committing to stop selling vanilla ice cream. And I hope that when the next book comes out, Steve, that we have an opportunity to talk again, and I can share that with my listeners as well. And until then, I highly recommend Stop Selling Vanilla Ice Cream, and I'm looking forward to getting involved with it myself. Steve, thank you so much for being here. It has been a pleasure and an honor to have you.
Thank you very much, and I thank you for your listeners, too, and I hope that you can all stop selling vanilla ice cream.
And now I'm off to enjoy a dish of my favorite ice cream, and I hope that you can, too. Until next time, take action on something you heard that can create the spark to ignite a positive change in your life. And stay safe. I look forward to being with you again. Good night for now.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.